Welcome back. This is 180. My name's Carl Claussen. I'm your host. So good to have you along. Here we go, Monday. Well, let's get this thing rocking and rolling. Here's the beautiful thing. We have an opportunity between Sundays to continue to grow, sharpen our sword, and thrive in our relationship with Christ. That's why we're here. And it's a joy to have you along for this ride. Go to KC180.com. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter. Follow me on Facebook or Twitter. Look forward to having you. Also, Dawn Pearson's coming up next. We've been featuring this iParent concept, the need to be in the know on social media issues with kids. We're going to talk about Girl Redeemed coming up. But right now, I've got a friend of mine, Dr. George Koch, with me. He's the pastor of Resurrection Church in West Chicago. He's a good man. He loves the Lord with his whole heart, and he's as authentic as they come. He's got this great mind, so he's written this book, What We Believe and Why. And if you haven't gotten a copy yet, pick it up. WhatWeBelieveAndWhy.com, WhatWeBelieveAndWhy.com. Pick it up and follow along. But let me bring him in. George, good to have you with me today.
Carl, it's a delight, always a delight to be with you.
I am so sorry that you lost your papa.
Thank you. That was an astonishing and really sad loss, certainly for the family, but for all of the lives that he touched. He was a wonderful father and a man of God who just touched so many hearts and lives, and we really miss him.
Yeah, and it's amazing. I mean, he was, wasn't he 90, George?
93.
93.
Yep, and still sharp as a tack.
I mean, he was listening to us on radio up until a week and a half ago.
Yep.
What does it feel like, though, to be able to both shed incredible tears at the loss of your dad, but to know that his eternal security is with the safest hands he can be in? That's got to be overwhelming, George.
Well, my heart is at peace, but I'm sad anyway.
Yeah, oh, it's brutal, isn't it? I mean, yeah. I've got an 85-year-old dad that he keeps cheating death. We've counted 9 times now, but I'm going to lose my papa soon. I don't know how long, but I hope he's around a long time. But there's no way to avoid the pain and the sorrow, is there?
No, there isn't.
No. Well, this is a good topic we're launching into, and it's on prayer. And we're going to talk about the object of it and the posture of it and the purpose of it. It's funny because this is both theological and very practical. So let's just walk through this, because there's some things about posture in particular I want to get to. But let's talk about the object of our prayer. It's kind of the object of our faith. It's not the substance of it. It's where it's directed. Is that right, George?
It is. The challenge of prayer is that, and this is not complicated, but we often, when we pray, mix up or get confused about doing it right, rather than simply engaging in a conversation with God. And what I mean by that is, because we are Christians and Trinitarians, we believe that there are three persons but one God. And that means that each of those three persons is sovereign God. And yet what happens very often in our prayers is we manage to get into each prayer that we speak, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and Lord. I think sometimes because we're afraid that if we don't get them all in, or if we say the wrong one,
right,
it's not heard.
Yeah, and nothing could be further from the truth.
Nothing could be further from the truth.
What is the truth?
One God.
What is the truth? How do we pray? What's the object of our prayer?
Well, the object of our prayer is the one God, and it doesn't matter whether you pray to Jesus or the Holy Spirit or the Father, all three here, because all three are one God. And we don't have to, in our prayers, assign them the roles that we think they need to occupy in responding to our prayers. They already know their roles better than we ever could.
Yeah, I've done that before in my youthfulness. When I was in Bible college, I went through a season where I was kind of rehearsing for God the attributes of what they did in prayer. And then the Savior and then the Spirit. You're saying, hey, come on.
It's simple. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, don't worry about it. That's great advice from a good theologian. All right, I want to move to posture.
Sure.
Let's talk. I think posture is underrated, and it is of great value to discuss, isn't it, George?
It's extraordinarily important, especially in the West, because we both generally and within the Christian faith, have become so intellectualized, so much in our heads, that many of us are afraid to pray, first of all, out loud. We're embarrassed to do that unless pressed. And secondly, when we do pray, we stand like statues and just move our lips. Now, it's not that that kind of prayer doesn't get heard, but it's almost like we're embarrassed to allow our bodies to be a part of that prayer. And yet our bodies express brilliantly what's going on in our hearts. And I was thinking as I was driving home today and getting ready to talk to you of a perfect example of this.
Let's hear it.
And it's that. When you were baptized in the River Jordan,
yes,
and you came up out of that water after you'd been immersed, where were your hands?
Straight in the air, baby.
Straight in the air, in praise and thanksgiving. It's a perfectly natural response to that kind of impact of God on our lives. And we shouldn't be afraid to let our bodies show what's going on in our hearts.
I'm with you. George Koch is my guest. We're working our way through his wonderful work called What We Believe and Why. You can get it at whatwebelieveandwhy.com. Get a copy. It's great. It's very provocative and a lot of fun. You talk about some Latin words for posture. I want to go there for a second.
Sure.
Explain that for our listener.
Well, in Scripture, we find many positions described when people are praying. They include prostrate, face on the floor, kneeling, hands raised, holy hands raised. Which is in Latin called orans, which just means praying. And that's probably the most normative position of prayer for the early church and all of the Jewish worship that came prior to it, is hands in the air, holy hands in the air. Orans, it's called in Latin. And there are, in fact, pictures in the catacombs in Rome from the 3rd century or earlier that show people in prayer, and their hands are all raised. I don't know about you, but when I was growing up, the kind of church I went to really looked down on people that prayed with their hands
no,
in
man.
The air.
No, man. When I was raised as a little kid, if somebody came in and put their hand in the air, they were emotionally labeled a whack job.
Right.
In the church I was
right.
in.
And, right.
And by the way, here's what's amazing about that. There were some really good people in that church. It's just that we're easily deceived on stupid stuff, George.
Just didn't know and got stuck in a little cul-de-sac.
Yeah,
yep.
It's just true. Well, here's my deal on this one, and we're going to ride posture to the end here. We just got a minute left, and then we're going to put a comma here and come back because prayer is too important to just fly through. But the interesting thing is just, yes, I raise my hands in the Jordan, no doubt. But let's be even this practical, George. If you go watch the Bulls play and they beat the Nets in overtime on a three-pointer buzzer beater, you're going to throw your hands in the air, stomp your feet, and scream a little bit.
Right. It's a natural response to the body when it wants to praise and shout and be thankful. Why would we keep from doing that when we're in the presence of God? It's just crazy.
It is. It's flat Looney Tunes. Why? We got 30 seconds. Why do we do that?
Well, we don't want to look unseemly. And we want to look much more in control. And the truth is, we're not. God is. And we ought to be willing to acknowledge that he's greater than we are and that he's worthy of our praise. And not only our lips and our words, but our posture, our body ought to shout that just as loudly as our voices do.
George Koch, you just said something. You said that our problem is that we want to be in control and our body can declare to people and to God, you're in control. That, to me, is pay dirt right there. I'm going to write it down. I'm stealing it from you. That is really good. George Koch, everybody, What We Believe and Why. Get a book. Get a copy. WhatWeBelieveAndWhy.com. Thanks for being with me, buddy. I got to move.
Thanks, Carl. Lord bless you.
Blessings on you. Coming up, Dawn Pearson, iParent. We're going to be talking about Girls Redeemed. 180 with Carl Claussen, your life, a new direction.